Well, no wonder believers can be the most positive, confident people on the planet. I'm forgiven, no condemnation. I'm free, no domination. I'm going to live forever, no termination. God is going to share with me all of his resources, no limitation. And he has a purpose for my life that even if I mess it up, he's still going to use it. Is that good news? That is good news.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? Today, as we continue with our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy, Pastor Rick shares with us six indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success, your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Leaving a Legacy of Hope.
What controls you is what you think about most. If you think about money the most, you are controlled by money. If you think about sex the most, you are controlled by sex. If you think about how do I look to others, you are controlled by other people. If you think about your past all the time, you are controlled by your past. Whatever you think about most is the controlling element in your life. And God says, I don't want anybody being in control of your life except me. Because when I set you free, then I really set you free. Mastered by Christ, I can master any circumstance. No condemnation, I'm forgiven. No domination, I'm set free. No termination, I'll live forever. That's the third reason we have hope. I'm going to live forever. That is a life without termination. Death is not the end. There's more to the story. One day your heart will stop beating. That will be the end of your body. It's not going to be the end of you. You were made in God's image. You were made to last forever. You're going to spend trillions of years on the other side of eternity compared to here. This is not all there is. And why do we have hope? Because no matter how bad it stinks on earth in your life, it's just for a while. Ultimately, if you put your trust in Christ, you're going to spend trillions of years in eternity with no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more suffering. And I can live a life with no termination. I am going to live forever. Now, the Bible says this, Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So, just as he, that's the Spirit, raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit. Just as much as Jesus rose on Easter, Resurrection Day, one day God's going to resurrect you. When you die, you put your trust in Christ, you're going to heaven. Not only that, later on in this verse it says you're going to get a new body. I like that. When I get to heaven, I am going to be so hot. I mean, you're just going to go, holy, is that Rick? Good night, man. He must have been on Trim Spa or something, you know? No termination. I'm going to live forever. Regardless of the problems you go through, this is not all there is. Now, friends, I know the difference in this one. As a pastor, I have stood at the gravesides of hundreds of families, and I know the difference. I've looked into the eyes of people with hope and those without. And those people who have no hope in Christ, who have no faith, who have no assurance of eternal life, when it comes to the funeral, that's the acid test of what they believe. And they fail because I have seen the terror in their eyes. You don't want to be there. When you say, this is all I have, it's over. I will never see this person again. It's done. That's all there is to life. And I've seen that terror. And I've compared it to the hundreds and thousands of other people that I've seen at funerals of a believer who they know this is just a transition step. They're going into real life. The get ready stage is over. Now they're going to be with God for eternity. And I'm going to be reunited with them one day, and I will be with my loved ones again. And there is hope. And it's a homecoming. It's not leaving home at death for a believer. It's going home.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
As a pastor, I have stood at the gravesides of hundreds of families, and I know the difference. I've looked into the eyes of people with hope and those without. And those people who have no hope in Christ, who have no faith, who have no assurance of eternal life, when it comes to the funeral, that's the acid test of what they believe, and they fail. Because I have seen the terror in their eyes. You don't want to be there. When you say, this is all I have, it's over, I will never see this person again, it's done, that's all there is to life. And I've seen that terror. And I've compared it to the hundreds and thousands of other people that I've seen at funerals of a believer who they know this is just a transition step. They're going into real life. The get ready stage is over. Now they're going to be with God for eternity. And I'm going to be reunited with them one day, and I will be with my loved ones again. And there is hope. And it's a homecoming. It's not leaving home at death for a believer. It's going home to a place with no problems. If you don't have that hope, you have a reason to be hopeless in this world. A few brief years with a lot of problem and pain, and then you die and that's it. That's not much to hope about. The fact is, in Jesus Christ, I live a life with no condemnation. I'm forgiven no matter what I do. A life of no domination. I'm set free. I don't have to stay the same. I can change. And I'm not the same man I was 30 years ago. I'm just not. And I'm glad for that. And I'm not the same man I'm going to be 20 years from today, because God is still changing me for the good and for the better. And then I live a life with no termination. I'm going to live forever. The fourth reason why I have hope, no matter how hopeless it seems, is I am able to live a life with no limitation. And that means I will share in God's glory. Not only am I going to live forever, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to have unlimited access to all of His resources. Unlimited access. The Bible says that as a child of God, I have an inheritance that is coming to me, just like a human father gives a human inheritance. Now, if you were the son or the daughter of Bill Gates, you would probably stand to reason that you were going to receive a large, hefty inheritance. But you have a father who is wealthier than Bill Gates. Your heavenly father has prepared an inheritance for you as one of his children. And the Bible says this in Romans 8, verse 16. God's Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. That means his inheritance. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. That is one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. Everything that God has given to his son, Jesus Christ, he said, he's giving to you also. That is limitless. No limitation. You're going to share in his glory. You will have in heaven, you have unlimited access to the unlimited resources of God because God created you to be his child. He wants you to be his child, but you must choose to be his child by asking him in, to accept you in his family. Everybody's created by God, but not everybody is a child of God. You have to choose and say, Lord, I put my trust in you. I accept what you did for me, Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe in you, and I want to love you and trust you. Now, when you do that, you become a child of God, and you're going to have an inheritance one day that is everything that's given to Jesus is going to be given to you. That's amazing. Now, any parent is going to want to know that the child is responsible before they give the inheritance. And oftentimes, parents test their children in small amounts before they are given a larger amount. The same is true with you spiritually and your Heavenly Father. This life is your test. That's why you're here on earth. This life is your test. And God is testing you to see what you do with littler amounts before he trusts you with more in eternity. He's testing and watching to see what do you do with that little bit of talent to see whether you're going to be responsible enough to get greater talents in heaven. He's trusting you to see how do you handle the little bit of wealth he's given you? How do you handle the little bit of relationships he's given you? How do you handle the little bit of opportunities that he's given you? If you're doing good with it, guess what? The Bible says you will be trusted with more in heaven. To whom much is given, much is required. And the Bible says if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in much. The question, what are you doing with what you've been given? This is a test. This life is a test. And that test that God is testing you to see what he can trust you with in eternity right now involves problems. Yeah, they're part of the test. How do you respond to problems? Do you take them to God or do you just try to solve them yourself? Pressures, how do you respond to pressure? Do you take it to God or do you just try to handle it yourself? Pain, how do you handle pain? Do you gripe and complain or do you take it to God? Suffering and sorrow, yes, those are part of the test too. They're part of the test too. And there is real suffering in this world, folks. Now, there are some religions that actually teach that suffering is an illusion. Buddhism believes it's all an illusion. No, it's not an illusion. It's real. When a child gets run over by a car, that's real. When somebody gets cancer, that's real. When a woman gets raped, that's real. It's not just in her mind. It's not an illusion. There is evil in this world. Very real evil. Sometimes I make bad choices and it hurts others. Sometimes other people make bad choices. It hurts me. It is a very reality. It's not an illusion. And the Bible says we on this planet will suffer. In fact, look on the back. The outline says this. Romans 8. But if we are to share his glory in eternity, we must also share his suffering. Now, God did not exempt his own son, Jesus Christ, from suffering. Why would he exempt you? You're not going to ever have a problem-free life. This is a test. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. That is no limitation. that I will share God's glory. So even though right now the Bible says creation groans, the earth groans because it's been broken, we groan because of the pains in our lives, God's Spirit groans for us, but we know that we have hope. Why? Because we know it won't last. Because we know the end of the story. And we know it will be rewarded in heaven. And this gives us hope. I know how it's going to end. I've read the last chapter of the book, and we win. Not only is it a life without limitation, it's a life without miscalculation. And that means this: I have a purpose. Nothing happens by accident. There is no miscalculation. No miscalculation in my life. That means I make mistakes, but God doesn't. I make mistakes all the time, but God doesn't. And God doesn't make mistakes, but He uses mistakes. Would you write that down? God uses my mistakes. Why? Because He already knows them before we even do them. He knows the mistakes you're going to make 20 years from now. And so He just fits them into the plan. God doesn't cause evil. The Bible says, is there anything God can't do? Yes, God cannot do evil. God is incapable of evil. But there's evil in the world. And so we make choices. But God can use even that, even the bad choices, for good. There's no miscalculation. Notice what the Bible says. One of the most famous verses, Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Nothing comes into my life by accident. If you are a believer, everything in your life is Father filtered. Even when the devil tried to hurt Job, God said this much and no further. It's not an accident. There is no miscalculation. Now, what does that mean? If all things are working together for good, if I love God, it means this: there is no plan B in your life. You might write that one down. There is no plan B for my life. You're still on plan A. You mean in spite of all of the bloopers and mistakes? Yes. In spite of that abuse? Yes. In spite of that divorce? Yes. In spite of that unfaithfulness? Yes. In spite of that abortion? Yes. In spite of, you name it, God says, I knew it was coming. He didn't plan it, but He knew it was coming. So He plans to bring it for good use in your life if you give it to Him. This is not a promise for everyone. It's for those who are in Christ. That phrase that Paul uses 167 times to define a believer. It all fits into His plan. Well, no wonder believers can be the most positive, confident people on the planet. Why do we have the most hope? I'm forgiven, no condemnation. I'm free, no domination. I'm going to live forever, no termination. God is going to share with me all of His resources, no limitation. And He has a purpose for my life that even if I screw it up, mess it up, He's still going to use it. Is that good news? That is good news. That means no matter how badly I messed up my past, and it means no matter how badly I mess up the future, God's purpose is bigger than my problems, and He'll still use it for good if I just say, God, please use it. The good, the bad, and the ugly in my life, please use it for good. And He will. He'll use it for good in my life. Now, that verse, as I pointed out before, doesn't say all things are good. It's not. It doesn't say all things work out the way I want. It doesn't. It doesn't say all things have a happy ending. They aren't. But the Bible is full of examples where God used bad situations and brought good out of them. Did you know that there's a lot to learn from the Bible, even in the boring parts? No, really. You know, some of those boring, like those lists of genealogies, those names, and you're going, oh, brother, you know, what am I supposed to get out of this today? I got up to read, this guy's son was this, and this guy's son was this, and I'm going, what is that all about? You know? If you knew the stories behind those names, there's enormous spiritual truth behind them. Let me just give you an example. In Matthew chapter 1, We have the family tree of Jesus on Joseph's side. Now, this is very important, the genealogy, the lineage of Jesus, because to the Jews said the Messiah, the coming Savior, must come through the line of David. And in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about how Jesus's human lineage came through the line of David. And it says this guy's son was this, and this guy's son was this, and this guy's son was this. But it's interesting, in the genealogy of Jesus, four women are mentioned. Now that's unheard of in Jewish culture, because you always trace the family tree through the father, not the mother. But in Jesus' family tree, it mentions four women. Totally breaks the stereotype and mentions four women. And when you look at the stories of those four women, it has even more importance. The first woman mentioned is a woman named Tamar. You know what Tamar is famous for? She was raped by her half-brother, Absalom. A very, very sad story in the Old Testament. And yet God brought good out of it. The second woman mentioned in Jesus' family tree is Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who found faith and became a great godly woman. And she's in the family tree of Jesus. The third one is a woman named Ruth. Ruth wasn't even Jewish. She was from the country of Moab. She was a Moabite who married a Jewish man illegally. Jewish men weren't allowed to marry outside of their faith. So her whole marriage was illegal. But she's in the family tree of Jesus. And then the fourth woman, oh yeah, Bathsheba. Anybody heard of her? Committed adultery with David, and her husband is murdered. And it's not, I mean, it's like a plot on some TV show. And in every one of those situations, those heartbreaks that those four women went through, little did they know, God said, I'm going to put that in my plan to bring the Savior of the world into this planet.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime, or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
The Bible says we can look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to be revealed. Imagine what that day is going to be like. That's the hope we stand on. And that's our daily hope. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear from you. You can write me, Rick, at rickwarren.org. And if you want to send in a financial gift to help us continue this ministry and even expand it, I would deeply appreciate it. God bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.